I've come today to see the Mary Rose Museum here at Historic Portsmouth, and to take me round I have a very distinguished looking gentleman who is, I guess, attired in Tudor outfit, and his name's Paul Clare. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
I must ask you how, just to describe first of all how you're dressed, because I'm wearing a jacket and trousers, fairly sort of 21st century, and you're not.
Okay, I'm dressed in doublet and hose. So that's kind of like a jacket and short trousers and longer woolen socks underneath. I'm wearing a coif, a kind of linen cap with a woolen hat on that. And then I'm wearing at my waist carpentry tools copied from ones that were found on the Mary Rose in a container, again copied from the ones that were found on the Mary Rose.
And so what sort of person would be dressed like this?
I mean, I'm wearing these tools to sort of show that how possibly the carpenter would be dressed. So he's reasonably well paid. He's probably getting about three times what the ordinary sailors are getting. And so not an officer, so not a gentleman, but a well-paid commoner, if you like.
And as a carpenter, would you be travelling on board the ship make sure the repairs and everything
else? Oh, yeah. A ship's carpenter in those days was the equivalent of a ship's engineer, chief engineer nowadays. Anything that went wrong with a ship, wooden ship in those days, of course, the carpenter would be expected to be able to handle it, really. So he gets a cabin. He gets, as I say, better rate of pay. Even if he ships on as a sailor as well as ship's carpenter, he's not supposed to go above the height of the mainsail if he's doing any repairs or that, because he's obviously such a valuable individual. Yeah. They don't want to lose him falling off the rigging.
No, or anything like that. Of course not. So would you have a team of people underneath you that would you delegate to?
Yeah, there would be a carpenter's mate under carpenter. There are in fact seven chests that have been found on the Mary Rose that have carpentry tools, and there are six of these containers, as I've just explained. They're kind of like you'd similar to what you'd wear today to put your tools in,
right,
and around your waist. There's six of those found, so there's probably six or seven men on the Mary Rose who have at least some carpentry experience, being directed by the ship's carpenter.
Gosh. Well, I have to say, it's brilliant to see, and it really suits where we are and sets the time period, because we are back in the Tudor period. Mm-hmm. And you've just been showing me this very large...
The Cowdrey engraving is the original. It comes from Cowdrey in West Sussex, a house that was burned down.
Oh, Cowdrey House, yes. We did a funny enough, a tour around the ruins of that last year. So.
Well, originally, when it wasn't a ruin, the original of that was a painting on the walls of that house.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's a nice little connection. And this depicts the last moments,
yes,
really, of the Mary Rose as she is almost... vanished now, yeah, disappearing, opposite Southsea Castle.
Yes, indeed, yes. Between the Isle of Wight and Southsea Castle, it's probably a mile or so away from the castle. If you go across to the Isle of Wight these days from Portsmouth on the ferry, as you go past the nearest sort of the Palmerston's Follies, the forts out there, there is a yellow buoy in the water that actually marks the site
of
the Mary Rose.
Oh, do you know, I've been over to the Isle of Wight many times, and it would have been great to have known that, because you're just something to look
out
for.
Yeah, exactly, yes, yes.
And instead of the towers, as you say. So she sank in 1545.
Yes, yes, 19th of July.
19th of July. And there is controversy about actually how she sank, the reasons why she sank.
Yes, there are lots of different theories. Nobody is really certain. There are accounts at the time... don't always agree as to, for example, the number of people on board, and obviously that's important. There are some suggestion that it might have been sort of overladen with men.
Right.
But as I say, because we can't get a definitive number, we can't say, you know, that that is true. It might be a contributing factor. There might have been more men than there should have been on board. But that's to say, we can't come up with anything definite like that. And so many theories about it. It was making a turn at the time, which is a very kind of a more risky time for any sort of sailing ship when you're making a turn. And an account at the time mentions a gust of wind at the wrong moment, so that may have contributed as well. There may have been misunderstandings among the crew because some of them were foreign. There are various possibilities like that. It's probably a combination of several factors.
We've got to remember this ship, it's not like a new ship. It'd been around in the big wars in France. It'd been up to Scotland. It'd been refitted loads of times, and it was one of the first ships to have these new guns that had been put in close to the waterline with the gun ports.
Yes. So I mean, it's a new design of ship, if you like, really. But it was, as you say, I mean, most people who come to the Mary Rose Museum for the first time have heard this story that it sank on its maiden voyage. That is the most common sort of misconception.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, right.
So many people who come here think it sank on its maiden voyage.
Are they getting confused with the Titanic?
Well, it could be. I think possibly more likely the Vasa over in Sweden, which did sink on its maiden voyage in 1628. But, I think a lot of people are aware that the king saw it sink.
Yes.
And I think, therefore, the assumption is, well, why would the king be in Portsmouth?
Yes.
Well, he was obviously here to launch the ship. Whereas, of course, what people don't know is that we had an attempted invasion going on at that day, with it was far bigger than the Spanish Armada. So the king was down here because there was the danger of an enemy landing, and then they did actually land on the Isle of Wight.